Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to part two of the Stompcast. Rob and I are wandering through Clapham Common. It is a sunny, lovely day. I'm feeling very, very grateful. We've got dogs running around, people playing fetch, we've got people on the bicycle. It's great to see people outside moving, isn't it? Exercising, the outdoors in nature. It's amazing.
My dad was in Florida with my mum. I always talk about my dad in my books. And my mom says to me, like, what about me? You know, would you please mention me a little bit?
It's the other way around for my parents.
And my mom is super wise and she's a force of nature. But my mom and dad were in Florida on a trip. And my dad spotted this elderly gentleman who just looked spry. Like, he just looked like a lean machine. And my dad walked up to him and said, like, how do you do what you do? And he said, I'm a perpetual motion machine. And so I think you're right, just like moving. How much of the world's problems would be solved by a nap every day? And number two, how much of our problems would be solved if we would just move a lot more? You know, the science of dopamine and serotonin and oxytocin and norepinephrine, but movement is powerful.
Also in the cycle, like obviously the biochemical, neurochemical changes when you exercise, but it's the state of mind as well. Like yesterday I was in a bit of I was in a bit of a funk over the weekends. Probably could tell I was moaning about the weather and whatever. And I was a bit of a funk. I felt that the last couple of months have been kind of a little bit of one challenge after the other. You kind of know it is. There's always something. And I think I'm going to come on to that point. There's kind of always something. There's a realization that you need to try and live despite challenges. But I was in a bit of a funk. And I went to the gym. And I was lifting weights in the gym. I thought, God, I feel so grateful. And I walked outside and actually the sun was shining. And for the hour it was shining yesterday. And I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to run. I had no intention to go for a run. And I ran and I did 5K. And I finished it and I was honestly high. I felt so high. And I was like, my God, this drug of movement is incredible. If every time we got into a funk, you just went outside and walked or you ran or you moved, how much better would we all feel if we just moved that bit more?
Well, that's why in the 5 a.m. Club book, one of the parts of the 20-20-20 formula that forms the victory hour from 5 to 6 that is currently helping millions of people handcraft great days, the second pocket for 20 minutes is move. And you're absolutely right. Like there's days, especially on this book tour, this is week number 8, and there are mornings where I don't feel like getting in the gym, and I've got a plane to catch, and I just force myself to get in the gym.
Hello.
And hey, buddy.
How's that, buddy?
I love dogs.
Yeah.
And just for everyone listening, this very interesting dog just walked, like total character, right?
Yeah, just was smiling at us, running at us, and you
just
have to say hello.
Running at us. But sometimes I don't feel like getting into the gym, but I've never regretted doing the workout. And so the way you feel before the gym and after is fundamentally different. There's a chapter in the Wealth Money Camp Buy called The Way You Show Up in the Gym Sets Up the Way You Show Up in Life. Mm-hmm. And for example, the gym is like a crucible or a microcosm for the way you live, do your work, and live your life. If you go to the gym and you're on your phone through the whole workout, you're probably on your phone through the rest of the day. If you go in the gym and you're focused, well, you're building focus for the rest of your day. You go in the gym and if you do the same workout, you're not going to build much self-discipline. But if you go to the gym and you go to the jagged edges of your potential, well, you're probably going to show up like that for the rest of the day. So I really believe the gym is like a temple. And I think, you know, working out is incredibly important. And I agree with you. If you're in a funk, you don't even have to go into the gym. Like, look at this.
Just walk outside.
The Japanese call it Shinrin Yoku. Wow. It's forest bathing. You and I are
You talk about forest bathing, of course.
I do. And Alex, we're having a bath.
We're doing it. Yeah,
we're doing it. We're having a forest bath
Just in nature. And you can find it. And that's why I encourage people in the sump cast. You know, you don't have to be living in the countryside. I mean, we're in the middle of a city. We're in the middle of a really big city. And we found a bit of haven of nature. And I think that's what it's about. It's just finding your little space you can go to and you can feel at home. Now, one of the things that I find the benefits of things like exercise and going to the gym is, yes, mood, but also, I guess, tied into that is kind of confidence and self-belief, and, you know, doing difficult things teaches you that you can overcome difficult things. Lifting weights is hard work, isn't it? Going for a run, it's actually, you're panting, you're like, oh, pushing along. It's hard, but you gain confidence from that. Now, I'd like to talk a little bit about something that I think a lot of people struggle with is criticism. Some of that criticism can be at critics. And I mean, you know, you obviously got, you know, a huge number of people that, you know, adore the work that you do, but I'm sure along the way you're going to meet people in life, you know, that criticize or have something to say about it. So perhaps, you know, because of the size and things like that. But even just in life, even if you're not famous, there's always people are going to criticize. And then there's also the self-criticism, which I'd argue probably is the worst bit of it. So I just wonder, because I struggle with it a lot. I struggle a lot with dealing with criticism, mainly when it's myself on myself. How can we get better at kind of not letting it stop us chasing our dreams? Because I think so many people self-criticize themselves out of doing what they really want to do.
So I've got a number of hopefully helpful replies for you. I usually don't read feedback online on my books, but The Wealth Money Can't Buy just came out 2 weeks ago.
And it's flying.
Thank you.
It's absolutely flying.
Thank you.
Rocketing, I'd say, probably.
It's a rocket ship of a book worldwide. But I spent a year of my life devoted to this book.
It's huge. Congratulations.
Thank you.
No surprise, by the way.
I mean, thank you.
It's just incredible. And it's something that something I've heard you say before is that so much of success is about, you know, everyone wants the instant result. It's about being disciplined and crafting your life to something. And that's what you've done. And you're seeing that now because, and I know you've seen a great deal of success over the years, but you're seeing that because you've just dedicated so much of your life to this craft.
Well, you know, the book just reached the New York Times bestseller list. Here's what I'd say, 31 years to get there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, so I'm looking at feedback because I want to see if I've done my job. And thankfully, most of it is very, very positive. But one person, and of course, our brains go to the one person who had the negative comment.
Thanks, brain.
Right? It's the negativity bias. And so I looked at that one comment, and essentially it said, there's nothing new in here, and the book was unnecessary, which is almost like, oh, a year of your life was wasted on something unnecessary. So the way I look at it is this. Not everyone likes chocolate ice cream. Some people like fiction books, some people like whatever. Not everyone is going to like your magic. So that's okay, not everyone has to. Second thing, J.K. Rowling, obviously Harry Potter fame, she said, for some to love you, some must loathe you. So I think great art is meant to antagonize. And I think if you're not antagonizing some people, you haven't pushed your craft to its limit. Third thing I would say, Bob Dylan, don't criticize what you don't understand. So often we'll go into an art gallery or museum and will say, I could have done that. You know, it makes me think of Picasso. Picasso was in a marketplace one day and a woman goes over to Picasso and she said, I'm a huge fan. He said, thank you. She said, Mr. Picasso, could you do a little drawing for me? He goes, sure. She pulls out a piece of paper and a pencil. He does a little drawing. She looks at it and she goes, Mr. Picasso, you are a genius. She walks away. He said, excuse me. She said, what? Mr. Picasso said, that'll be $1 million. The woman says, Mr. Picasso, $1 million? What are you talking about? It took you 30 seconds. He said to her, he goes, ah, my dear lady, it took me 30 years of practice to be able to do that in 30 seconds. So Bob Dylan, don't criticize what you don't understand. You know, sometimes if you're not familiar with the field, you miss the nuances. I mean, I'm certainly not saying I'm a master, but the thing about a master is, a master, you can tell a master because, in arts, for example, because you say, my kid could have done that. It takes 30, 40, 50 years to know what not to put into the artwork versus the beginner who just puts everything in.
It reminds me, actually, as you're talking, of a video I saw the other day, and it was Tiger Woods taking a club, swinging and hitting the ball. And what the video is saying is that it's not about what he's doing, it's the million and one things he's not doing. And he's just hit that ball in perfection because it's all the mistakes on all the errors that are not there. And that's what's taken 40 years. You know, it's like, wow, that's so true, isn't it? It's so true. And it's kind of like what you're saying, just taking a moment to do something. It's like you've explored every avenue or as many avenues as possible to be able to know this is how you're doing this.
I'm going to channel Da Vinci. The essence of mastery is simplicity.
Mm.
And so it can take you a lifetime. Well, even, I don't want to fire hose quotes, but these are just coming to mind. Mark Twain said, sorry, I wrote you a long letter. I didn't have time to write you a short one. And so if you look at the greatest art, if you look at the best books, if you look at the best businesses, they're minimalists versus maximalists. And to be great in your work, again, that's the fourth form of wealth out of the eight forms of wealth that the book is based on. It's your craft. And we live in a world where we're forgetting a fundamental maxim of mastery, which is this. It's better to produce one masterwork than 1,000 mediocrities. We're in a hustle and grind culture where we put out so many videos, we put out so much content, we create so many apps because we're scared. But think about J.D. Salinger. J.D. Salinger only did one book. Now, he wrote about 50 that haven't been published. But he only published one book. And guess what? You know the title, Catcher in the Rye. You only need one Catcher in the Rye.
You only need one.
You only need one Taj Mahal.
You only need one
Sistine Chapel ceiling. You only need one masterwork to become iconic. But that takes discipline, focus, and time and patience. And to your point about critics, I think you can change the world or listen to naysayers. You can't do both. Everyone has an opinion. Trust your... If someone asked me, like, what would you say to the critics? I'd say, trust your instinct. It's so much more powerful than intellect. Intellect is the accumulated knowledge that the world tells you what's possible. Instinct is your voice of wisdom. I mean, I started off as a self-published author. I was a lawyer. Everyone laughed at me. Oh, you want to write self-help books?
You're 25 when you started. Was it 24, 25?
That's what the internet says. I was just a little older. You know, I would say maybe 30, 31. But I just had an instinct to write the monk who sold his Ferrari, and I followed it. And
what a title that is as well.
Thank you, yeah.
Genius of a title.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit UH1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow. I mean, so you've kind of answered that first, that's certainly, I mean, a lot of parts, but that first part. So dealing with criticism from others, I think it's kind of holding, you know, trust your gut, follow your path, and ultimately almost what you're saying is that criticism is inevitable if you're doing something meaningful, it sounds. What about part two, where this stuff is coming from you and it's coming from inside and you're kind of looking for reasons to, the brain is always looking for ways to validate its self-criticism or its anxieties and its fears, isn't it? Oh, see, that person said that to me. See, told you, Alex, that you're rubbish. That is really difficult to overcome. What would your advice be?
I would say a few things. I would say your income and your impact always reflects your self-identity. So you're right, the real work. See, our behavior each day reflects our beliefs. And so victims blame the world. They say the world is a mess right now. I can't do what I want to do. They recite their limitations. They come up with excuses. That's a victim. They're about CBE, complaint, blame, and excuse. Leadership is about APR, absolute personal responsibility. And we live in a world that's messy, and we live in a world where I've never seen so much opportunity. I've never seen so much kindness. I've never seen so many people interested in personal development. I've never seen so much love in the world. So it's a
it's
dark...
It's really interesting, because other people would say, but Robin, what you're talking about, this war, there's battles, there's hunger, there's fights, how can there be so much love?
Leaders emerge in dark times, not times of light. I think we see the best of human nature in tragedy.
Yes. Well, so, see, if you want to see some of the best of human nature, go into a hospital.
Absolutely.
See what's happening in a hospital or, you know, a place, you know, yeah, even in the worst places imaginable in war zones, you see the greatest bravery and the most kindness.
If you look for it.
If you look for it.
And so, to answer your point, how do we remove self-criticism or dissolve some of it? I'll go back to MVP, meditation, visualization, and prayer. It's such a powerful practice. Everyone's looking for the tools. That is one of the best tools. While the world is asleep, meditate, visualize, and pray 45 minutes, 5 days a week if you want, 7 days if you really want to make a massive difference. Do it consistently, because consistency is the mother of mastery. And it's not what you do every year that's important. It's what you do every day. And you'll find that it works. Second way to elevate our self-identity, it's the sixth form of wealth in the Wealth Money Can't Buy. Upgrade your social network. If you're the smartest, fastest, most creative, loving person in your neighborhood, find a new neighborhood. If you are the best person you know, start to know some new people, and definitely strip out the energy vampires. Number three, one of the chapters in the book, recruit a dead board of directors. Get a mentor. And if you can't find a great mentor to guide you into your richest life, then find a dead board of directors. Be mentored by the books of Mandela, of Mother Teresa, of Jean-Michel Basquiat, Aristotle Onassis, if you want to build a financial fortune. But read the books of dead legends, and it's like having a conversation, and they will influence you and start to plant seeds in your subconscious that germinate into a new self-identity. And the final thing I'd say is just upgrade your, we talked about it at the beginning, but upgrade your circumstances. You know, the fifth form of wealth is wealth. If you want to be wealthier and you don't have a lot right now, then go to the best hotel in the city and have a cup of coffee there. But just listen to the conversations and be around that. Even our work tools, we want the rewards of world-class without doing what world-class requires. So if you want to write a book, let's say, be an author, get a great computer. Go get a nice workspace. Get a good bench to sit on. So you want to feel like a world-class author.
gosh, incredible advice. Do you know, I'm going to commit to doing 4 weeks of the MVP. I'm going to do it 5 days a week. I'm going to do it 4 weeks. And I'm going to feed back to you and let you know how it goes. Because I do think it's, you know, I think for me, as someone that deals a lot with self-criticism, actually, the criticism for other people, I'm so much better at now. I'm not perfect. There's always the knife that slides through, right? The time when you're most vulnerable, something always slips through and gets you, you know? Kind of the gap in the armor, they get you, right? Pretty good at it, because actually now what I often say to myself, if someone's criticizing, I say, is this someone I go and ask advice from? And if I wouldn't go and ask for that advice from that person, why am I taking criticism from them? Because most of the time the people that criticize you aren't the people that you really, you know, want to go and, you know, value their opinion of, if you like. But I think for me the self-criticism is definitely a really big one, so I'm gonna use this to work on that, because often I think I'm a very, very sensitive person. And I'm often looking for ways to kind of validate that, I think, in my life. So I'm going to use it.
What I'd say is, first of all, if criticism doesn't hurt you at all, you're probably a psychopath.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Right?
Thank God, like, I'm not a psychopath. Good news on the Monday.
We're sensitive people. Yeah. We're sensitive people.
We care.
So we feel.
And I'd argue we wouldn't do this if we didn't care.
Well, if we weren't sensitive, we wouldn't be able to do art. So I think being sensitive is a gift, not a curse. And then, second thing I'd say is, leaving the herd is a radical act. So for you to say, I want to write a film, I want to take Stormcast to 10 levels up, or for someone to say, I want to find the love of my life and have a lifetime story that makes history, or I want to build a billion-dollar unicorn, or start a spiritual enterprise that brings me serenity. In a world where people are busy being busy, it's a radical act. And so every visionary is ridiculed before they're revered. So for you to, for most of us in our social circles or in the world to say, I want to do something amazing and special with my life and honor my gifts and my talents, it threatens the status quo, because it brings up their unexpressed and unlived potential. So it's easier for me to throw a rock at you, Alex, because you're doing something amazing, than to look in the mirror and say, wow, Alex is doing it. Where have I betrayed my genius? And then the last thing I'd say about that, and I think it's an important point, and you were hinting at it, don't listen to anyone who's not doing it.
And it's often the people that are not doing it, or the people that are looking at your position from a position of jealousy, they're the ones, funny enough, that always seem to crop up. People that are doing more than you really are bothered about what you're doing, are they? That's the fundamental truth, really.
I would agree. People don't talk about jealousy that much. I think it's a very big human emotion. And I think, especially in this culture of comparison with social media, I think a lot of what seeing other people winning, if it's true, brings up is jealousy. And one of the last chapters in The Wealth Money Can't Buy talks about doing the inner work, and I offer the tools, but doing the inner work so that when you see, the title of the chapter is See Someone Else's Winning as You're Winning. And again, MVP, meditation, visualization, prayer, or mantras, or journaling. Oh, wow, I felt journal looking at that person's Instagram feed and processing through the emotion to release. These are some of the tools that will help you become less jealous.
And letting go, actually, and that helps
letting
you let go each day, doesn't it?
Third morning question out of the five morning questions I share.
Just let go.
What will I let go of today? Oh, the jealousy I felt seeing that person doing that. It's powerful. And then for anyone who's listening who says, this might be soft, if we're dealing with jealousy, imagine how much energy that takes from our creativity, productivity, building the business, building the craft, building a life.
You're literally wasting your life. Let go. Guys, we'll come to the end of part two there. I've got to say this, even we're at the end of part two, and I could have said it in part one. We've done nearly 100 episodes now of the Stompcast. We've been doing this for nearly 2 years. We've been out in every season, from the snow to the storms and so on. I've had many conversations, and in no disrespect to anyone that I've had on here, but I think I can say this is my favourite conversation I've had on the Stompcast. It's been absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
Fist bump you for that. It's been incredible and profound. And I'm very grateful, actually, to say with gratitude, this podcast, because it has given me so much in life. I've gone from 20 plus stone. I've stopped drinking alcohol. was drinking too much. I found out that I have ADHD and channeled that, and I've learned so much richness from people. So I'm very grateful. This podcast has changed my life, and it's people like you that come on and make that difference. So thank you.
Happy to help, Alex, and this has been super fun so far.
Thank you. We've got one more part, and we have to let you go, sadly. And we have to let you. You've got the rest of the world to go and see. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you on part three very, very soon. Take care of yourself and goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.